Hey guys, Frank here with another episode of Modern Church Leader. Excited to jump into the show today. Here with a new friend of Tithely and some of our employees, Connie Crossley. Connie, how's it going today?
Going fantastic. We are in the process of getting some snow melted up here in East Tennessee, and we're excited to see some sunshine today and a little bit warmer temps.
That's amazing. We're on the other side. We're excited for rain because we don't get it a lot. So we're just going to soak it in. But it's good to have you on the show today. Thanks for joining us. And I'm all like, I get to talk to a lot of pastors and church leaders. And once in a while, I get to talk to folks that aren't necessarily a paid pastor or church leader and are kind of outside of that, but also get a chance to help church leaders, which you do a bit of in your profession. So I'd love for, you know, maybe just talk to us a little bit about your journey into the profession you're in and counseling and those kind of things, and then how you've connected that world into helping, you know, people in ministry, maybe not paid all the time or whatever, but, you know, just people in ministry and how you've kind of connected those dots. I think it'd be good for folks just to get to know you a little bit.
Yeah. So I'll tell you my initial draw or call, as a lot of people call it, a ministry call to ministry. Came almost 20 years ago, actually a little bit over 20 years ago, back in 2001. And I was working for, as an investigator for DCS, which is Department of Children's Services here in Tennessee. And I was unfortunately having to do removals for children that were not in a safe place. And so I began like hearing the Lord's call to say, hey, I want you to do more. I want you to put families back together. Right. I don't want you just to be a part of like removing them, but I want you to be able to put them back together. And so I had been working Centrifuge Camp, Christian Camp here through Lifeway. And I felt the Lord's call to just kind of start exploring like the opportunity to do counseling, and applied to Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah,
and got accepted there. And I had my roommate from seminary was actually a staff member on one of my teams for Centrifuge. And so I moved to Louisville in 2003, started seminary, got my degree in Christian counseling from Southern Seminary in Louisville, and moved back to Knoxville in 2006 and started my what seems to be kind of an up and down career of different populations that I've helped over the last few years. But consistently been involved in the local church here in Knoxville, and just felt a really big call to either be involved serving some way, whether it was with high school students, whether it was with us young women who I currently have a small group for in my home, or whether it was just serving on Sunday morning. And part of that has been conversations with staff members, just off the record conversations with staff members, just encouraging them and loving on them. But it's also included some conversations in my office. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, so I do offer services in a private practice setting now. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of different journeys to get to the private practice setting, but I'm working specifically now with some adults, some kiddos, not as many kiddos as previously, but have the opportunity just to jump in and see where people are on their journey and hopefully get them to the next step.
Yeah. I could imagine you'd be really good at, just because of like your career, you also seem very personable and easy to chat with, that like, if you're close with the staff at your church, that they just start like sharing stuff and talking to you about things. And, you know, you have the tools to kind of help them with things. And yet it's not necessarily like an official relationship. It's more just friends, and, you know, they just start opening up to you. So you probably get a lot of that.
And of course, I mean, obviously, if it gets to the level where I feel like that it needs to be something more than that, I'm going to encourage them to do what they need to do. But I think it's, like you said, my goal is to be personable. This is a hard thing to do. Counseling is a hard thing to do. Yeah. And I recognize that. And especially, I think, even harder for people in ministry, because we're supposed to have all the answers. We're supposed to have you know, the tools that we need. You know, we have scripture, right? I mean, we're supposed to, mm-hmm. you know, we're supposed to be able to use that and then just pour into people. And oftentimes forget that our cup is oftentimes depleted, and it's going to require some different ways to be able to fill it back up. And one of right. them may be that you have somebody that walks with you during right. the journey that you're on.
Yeah. 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 I think, I'd love to get your thoughts on, like, you know, it doesn't have to be just pastoral staff, cause I don't want to limit to that, cause you work with lots of different folks, but just this idea of like burnout in ministry. And, you know, the last couple of years with all the different things going on have been a bit crazy. Hopefully this last year has mellowed out some and we've gotten back to a little bit of normal, but it's been like a hard, extra hard season for a few years for kind of all frontline workers. And I think pastors and ministry staff and church staff are kind of in a way like frontline workers, just like the police or nurses or anybody, right? You're working with people and you're doing it every day and it's really hard. And the topics and things that have gone on in society have been really hard the last couple of years, like new stuff and kind of uncharted territory for staff. Sure. So, I don't know. I guess I'm teeing it up. Like, what have you seen in that sense with like ministry staff burnout and even volunteer staff burnout, like and those kind of things? Like, have you seen that in your profession, and how do you help people identify when that's happening?
Yeah. So I have a couple of tools, and really, honestly, Frank, it's taken me the last 2 years to try to figure it out myself, yeah. to be honest, because this was uncharted territory for all of us, even in the mental health profession. You know, before we started recording, we talked about like me working from home for 12 weeks, you know, like bringing yeah. all of that into my home. And then there's like no separation of things. And I think that happened for ministry leaders too. You know, they were doing Zoom calls from home or they are doing services online. So there's not that interaction of face-to-face people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the casual conversations. Everything had to be like really, really intentional. Right. Like you're going to do a Zoom call with these five people, or you're going to do a Zoom call with these 20 people that are in your small group. But there's not the casual when you're walking down the hallway. Oh, I haven't seen that person in a while. It's good to see you. It's good to see like what's going on. How are things with you? Or how are things with that that doctor's appointment you went to? And sometimes it, you know, we don't get the opportunity for that to happen, or we didn't get the opportunity for that to happen for a couple of years. So I will say that I think a couple of things have happened and tools that I've kind of helped people try to think through when it comes to burnout is typically there's four areas of our lives that we can kind of categorize mm-hmm. Kind of what's going on for us. It's emotionally, it's mentally, it's spiritually, and it's physically. So you saw people in during COVID do one of two things with the physical aspect. They either like full force, like, hey, I'm going to start working out, I'm going to start focusing on my diet, I'm going to start doing all these things. Or they said, I'm so depressed, I can't. Like, I don't have that physical interaction with people. And so for some people, that was really, really tough, leading to, like, you know, do you burn out on the physical aspect of things? Like, are you exercising to the point where it's like complete exhaustion, right. And in an unhealthy way. So, you know, that's one area. The second area is emotionally, like, how are you doing with your emotions? I mean, if you, watch the news at all, which that was what our device was to yeah. figure out what we were supposed to do. Like, are we supposed to wear a mask? Are we supposed to go out? Are we supposed to stay at home? I mean, that was kind of our avenue to figure out the direction we're supposed to go. And so, you know, we had to depend on that. And then there was a lot of confusion about, you know, whether or not it was accurate and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to get into that piece, but, you know, there was that emotional piece of like, how am I feeling about this? And there wasn't a lot of room for that. For us to really be honest with ourselves about how we felt about it, because it changed so frequently. Right. I mean, it just, the direction changed so frequently. So you're okay or satisfied with this direction. And then the next day it changed. So then it was like, I'm not really sure how I feel emotionally. And then mentally, like, what are you thinking about? Well, all of us, I mean, over the last couple of years, I mean, I would say the majority of us have thought about sickness more than we ever have in our whole entire lives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And even right now, I mean, like flu and RSV with
RSV.
Kids.
Mm-hmm.
COVID obviously still here, but like, you know, I mean, shoot, my kids had it all in the last month.
Well, and I had it in December last year. Actually, tomorrow will be my 1 year anniversary from the first time I had COVID.
Yeah.
And I was actually 1 year ago reporting a podcast for somebody else that morning and tested positive for COVID that afternoon. So, you know, yeah. And then I've had it again this year. I mean, it's here to stay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but mentally, like, how are we thinking about it? Like, how are we allowing our brain to think about it? Are we getting all of our information from one particular source, or is it so jumbled that it just seems overwhelming? And then who are the people that are around you that are also feeding into how you're thinking, right? Mm-hmm. We've all got those individuals who are a little bit toxic. We've used that word toxic people quite a bit in the last couple years. And so we've got to think about, you know, is that fueling your mental thinking,
right?
How you're thinking. And then of course the spiritual component, I'm not going to leave it out because, you know, there's some people that say, well, I don't really have a spiritual basis. I have some people that come into my office that have no spiritual relationship. But I still talk about being connected spiritually with something.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, am trained for people to be connected to Jesus.
Right.
And I want to talk about that as much as I can, as many people as will allow me to in my office, because it's the one thing that allows us to have hope.
Yeah.
And so, it, you know, that spiritual component, how are you doing spiritually? I mean, you know, when you think about burnout, you think about how much time are you really focusing on your own spiritual journey versus on leading other people in their spiritual journey?
Right.
So I get the opportunity sometimes to lead people in their spiritual journey if they're making decisions, life decisions, lots of times, a wedding, a death, a baby being born. Those are big life events.
Right.
And so we get to talk about that from the spiritual perspective a lot of the time. But if we're not careful, we can very, very quickly have so much investment in other people's spiritual journeys, and especially from a ministry like pastoral,
right,
like staff perspective. I mean, man alive, you're giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. And then it's like, okay, I'll get the 5% left and I'll have my quiet time. But that's, you know, that's pretty much all I got.
Right, right.
Which we know is not enough. And
yeah,
it's needed to be even more over the last couple of years. So I do think, you know, that piece is like, how do you evaluate that? Well, I ask people, well, how are you doing in each of those categories? Let's just be just full force, just honest with yourself. Like, I mean, are you involved in some kind of accountability spiritually? I think that makes a big impact,
mm-hmm,
right? For people, if somebody is holding you accountable to how many yeses you've said that week.
Right. Yeah.
And we talk a lot about yeses, because yeses are good. Yeses are good from a church perspective. They're really, really good. But they can also be challenging as well. I don't see them as bad, but I see them as challenging.
Yeah.
And especially from somebody
too many
who's
gets
on
you
staff.
Too busy. You know, you can only handle so much.
Absolutely.
If you say yes all the time, then, you know, you're probably taking on too much.
Well, and Frank, for me, as somebody who has been on staff at a church years ago, I was on staff at a church when I was in college, I was on staff as the intern, but we didn't have a minister in that department, so it was just basically me, so yeah. I don't really know why they called me an intern, but I did all the things.
Yeah.
All the things. And I was going to school full time, and you know, I said yes because that's what you were supposed to do.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in ministry, you're supposed to say yes to everything, right? I mean, if somebody asks you to serve on Sunday, if somebody asks you to take a meal to somebody in somebody's Sunday school class, if they ask you to, you know, park cars on Sunday night, if they ask you to serve food on Wednesday night, I mean, typically,
yeah,
the answer should be, and I say that in quotes, but should be yes.
Yeah.
But is it the right yes for right now? And I think you have to really look at if I'm starting to feel, and the body's powerful, you're going to know it, that you're starting to feel burnout in your body.
Yeah.
Before you ever recognize it from a mental perspective, yeah, you're going to feel it in your body. You start getting tingly fingers and stuff.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. Like how do people, and you know, this, the audience of the show is mostly people in ministry, whether they're paid or full-time or whatever, but you know, it's going to be people kind of working in church somehow, serving in churches somehow. But I'm assuming this answer can be very generally applied. Like, how do you know when you're, how do you start to identify the signs of like, I'm burnt out, right? Or I'm headed down the path of burnout. Like what, you know, what, sure, what cues do you give people? How do you help people identify? Cause I think that's a hard thing to do. And to your point, church leaders don't often, you know, they're helping everybody else, not themselves. And that's what they're called to do. That's what they, you know, that's what they want to do with their life. But you know, when you're serving everybody else, that's really good and powerful, but it can also wear on you if you're not careful. But I don't know if people are equipped to understand how to identify when I'm headed down the wrong path, right? When I am burning out, and then what to do about that.
So really basic. I mean, I'm just going to start the very, very basic, yeah, because I mean, we can go extremes here. I mean, you can be in a cardiologist's office and start with the heart palpitations, right, but I think it happens way before then.
Right.
So, I mean, if you find yourself dreading, like going to the office, like not just, you know, that you've worked a lot for an event or something like that, and it's, you know, it's just like, man, I'm just tired today. More than that, I mean, if it's a frequent thing where you're like dreading going to the office and you almost like delay it, you almost like, you know, just look for any opportunity to, you know, to procrastinate going, mm-hmm, I think that's probably a good sign. If you're waking up in the middle of the night, you're not sleeping well, again, physical component. If you're struggling with your eating, I always go to the eating and sleeping first. If those are things that you typically do pretty regularly, if you eat 3 meals a day and you start skipping meals, mm-hmm, I mean, and that seems like, well, I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. Well, but it's a normal, you want to look at any great fluctuations in the norm for you. And right, that doesn't mean that you have strep throat, you don't feel like eating anything. Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if I'm waking up every morning at 3 a.m. and thinking about the order of the service, and I'm thinking, oh, that song, I'm not sure if that's the best song. I'm not sure. Did I order enough cookies for this or for that? I don't have enough group leaders. I mean, I'm going to have to recruit. How am I going to do that? If you find yourself doing that frequently, if it's happening frequently, I think that's a pretty good sign, mm-hmm, that there's some things that maybe need to be adjusted. Most of the time we don't do that. We don't make the adjustment. We just say, oh, it's just, I'm just overwhelmed.
Right.
Right. We use that word quite frequently. I'm overwhelmed. Well, that's probably true. But if you're overwhelmed and you continue to be overwhelmed, it's probably leading to a place where the burnout piece is you're tired of being overwhelmed. So then you're burned out.
Right.
Right. Right? I mean, you're going to be there.
Right. Yeah.
And if your conversations, I think about conversations that individuals have with their spouse or with their family or with their accountability leader or their accountability person or people in their small group, if you're consistently having conversations that are, more on the negative side of things or more on the overwhelmed side of things, does that person in your group or in your accountability relationship say to you, hey, you know what I've noticed? Like, it seems like that over the last month, you've been talking a lot about this. And I'm just wondering, like, you know, maybe do you need to maybe shift the way you're doing something, mm-hmm, to better understand what's going on with you? Not necessarily what's going on with the church. I mean, there's always going to be something with church, always. Right. But I think the physical components are huge. I mean, obviously, if you're in the cardiologist's office, I mean, we know that there's,
yeah, that's, you've waited too long at that point.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think, you know, waking up in the middle of the night, changing in meals, if you're constantly canceling on people,
yeah,
you know, if you're a consistent person and then you find yourself like making plans and canceling them, or dropping the ball on things. Like if you're not able to remember things, now every now and then that can be just a memory lapse or something like that. Yeah, but right. For the most part, if you're pretty consistent, Frank, I mean, if you go into the office every single day and, you know, you're constantly, you get a cup of coffee, you sit down, you go through your emails and you find yourself out of that routine and you can't figure out how you got out of that routine, I would say you're moving in a direction that could be potentially a little bit dangerous.
Right, right. How do you, I mean, those are all great and really practical, I think, just to your point, like simple and changes in behavior, if you can identify them, are important to kind of spot. How do you help people, like once they see something like that, like do something, you know, what helps them snap out of that? Cause I think it's pretty easy for someone to go, oh man, I'm not eating well, or I'm not sleeping well.
Sure.
Maybe I feel stressed, or I'm thinking about that one thing all the time and I can't get it off my mind, or I'm getting negative, or I'm missing meetings, all the things you mentioned. Like sure. If someone just looked back over the course of a month, you could probably figure out if any of those are true for you pretty easily. Then you got to go do something. So what helps, you know, the pastoral staff or people in ministry, you know, once identify this, what do they do? Like, where do they go from there?
Well, I think there's two or three things that I would just mention off the bat. Number one, get somebody that's willing to walk with you.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't have to be a therapist. I'm not saying you immediately reach out to a therapist, but right. Find somebody who is willing to walk with you and willing to help you in the process, whether that's an accountability person, whether that's a small group leader. Hey, I'm struggling in this area and I'm trying to figure out exactly, would you mind to give me some feedback about something you've noticed?
Right.
I mean, is this, because you want some validation about whether or not it's just, you know, man, oh no, I haven't heard you really talk about that. Maybe it's just today that you're feeling that way. We always want to know, and we look for validation in lots and lots of ways, but if somebody that knows you well, don't ask somebody that sits on the pew with you or on the chairs that, right. You know, you've never seen before. How am I doing? Well, they don't know. Don't ask them, but ask somebody that knows you well.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few ladies that are a life stage ahead of me that if I'm getting ready to make a really big decision or if I'm struggling in some area, they know me well.
Right.
And so if I went to them and said, hey, I'm thinking about making this business decision. And they were like, I don't think that sounds like you, Connie. That's not anything you and I've ever talked about. Is that something just random that you thought about?
Right.
They're truly giving me feedback that I need.
Yeah.
So I would say definitely look in that area for somebody. The second thing is you got to stop. You got to stop what you're doing. You got to stop for just a second. I use the stop method from, Marshall Linehan's research, DBT skills. That's a bunch of therapy jargon you don't need to know, but the principle of it is that you need this acronym, STOP. Okay. So the first one is just stop. Just stop in your tracks for just a second. Stop and just take a breath. T is for take a breath. So take a big deep breath. Let it out. Blow it all the way out. We're guilty of just taking short breaths. You see people that have panic, you know, they take short breaths, but you need to take a big, deep breath. It's going to get oxygen to your brain. It's going to be like, oh, hey, I need to think about this differently. O is for observe. Observe what's happening around you. What is going on? Is it that you've committed, you've overcommitted yourself? Is it that you've said yes to too many things?
Mm-hmm.
Is it that you're doing something that you don't really love? Is it that you've been assigned something at the church, on staff, this event that you're like, man, I'm not passionate about this. I'm not passionate about it. I know it needs to be done, but I'm just not passionate about it.
Right.
So observe what's happening around you. Is there something going on with your family? You know, have you even acknowledged the fact that maybe you got a call from a friend and they have a cancer diagnosis,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you've not even really allowed yourself to register that? That's a pretty overwhelming piece. But sometimes we do such a good job of pushing stuff away that as it comes, it builds and builds and builds, and we don't observe
right.
what's happening around us.
Yeah.
The P is for proceed with caution. I love P because it allows us to say, hey, I don't have to go full force into this. I don't have to go like a train coming down the train track. I can proceed with caution. And it gives me the opportunity to proceed a little bit and to push pause.
Right.
Proceed a little bit, push pause. Proceed a little bit more and push pause. So I do think that that particular thing is something that I do very, very regularly. I use that skill probably, I don't know, multiple times a day. Honestly, Frank, I'm being real honest.
Yeah.
I have to just, you know, imagine myself standing dead in my tracks to say, okay, what's happening around me? I did it earlier today. There's a lot going on after Christmas. You and I were talking about take down the Christmas tree, do the business stuff, make the phone calls, have coffee with a friend, make all these commitments. And then it's like, oh, I don't have enough time.
I'm getting burnt out over thinking about taking down the Christmas stuff. So I'm.
You have to use your stop method. You have to use your stop method. You can tell your whole family, we're going to stop, take a breath, observe what all we have to take down, and let's do it, proceed with caution. Yeah. So you just do one thing at a time. So I do think those two things, having somebody that's going to give you really good feedback and accountability, using that stop method to just say, hey, I'm going to be mindful for just a minute. What's really going on? What's really, really happening for me? Mm-hmm. And especially in ministry, you know, there's always, always ministry to be done.
Right.
Ministry is never going to stop. The Lord's not going to let it stop. He is not.
Right.
He's not going to let it stop. And that's a beautiful thing. But at the same time, it's a very challenging thing for us as humans because we don't have the mind capacity that the Lord has.
Right.
And so it can be very, very challenging for us and our little bitty minds to be able to do those things.
Right.
But I don't know if I said this earlier, but I really do believe that people on church staff really need to have somebody outside of church staff to do that with.
Right.
And it's hard.
When do you, I have two things. One, maybe an easy one. Is a big part of this just literally being able to talk with people? Like you mentioned accountability partner, other folks, but is a big part of dealing with burnout the fact that maybe you're just not even like verbalize, like you're not even getting it out. It's all inside. You're just carrying it all and you're not able to get it out for whatever reason. You don't have somebody you trust. You don't have a therapist or whatever. So like one part is like how important or like how much of this is really helped by being able to talk it all through as often as you need to. And then the second part is when do you find that it makes sense to go from, you know, trusted advisor, accountability partner, mentor kind of relationship to a professional therapist relationship? Because, you know, ministry staff, most of them are not trained professionals in counseling. And there's this line, right? There's this interesting kind of like when you're a pastor, I mean, part of what pastors do is counseling, but they're not trained professional counselors. So it's just kind of interesting dynamic. So I'd love to get your thoughts on how important is just the talking about it. And then when do you go from, you know, part-timer or kind of like, you're right, just friend or mentor to professional?
So absolutely. The part of it is talking about it. But if you've been on church staff, and I have, so I feel like I have a little bit of permission to talk about this. I don't have a lot, Frank, but I have a little bit of permission. There are lots of things that are discussed in like staff meetings and different like committee meetings and things like that, that are just not for public knowledge. Yeah. Right. And so there's this fine line of like, who can I tell accountability wise that goes to the church or is on church staff that I can process because they know the details, right? They were in that committee meeting and they know the details versus somebody outside who might be in your small group or maybe is an accountability partner that's, you know, just a friend that you have in the church, but they can't know all the details.
Right.
Yeah. Because you've made this commitment to be confidential and understandably so. So I think when those things start to really be messy and you'll feel it in your body, it'll be this uncomfortable feeling, these butterflies in your stomach, the tension in your shoulders, again, not sleeping at night, then I think you have to, that can definitely be a level to go to someone who a therapist is confidential. They're not going to be able to share if they're following their codes of ethics and they're following all of the ethical and legal responsibilities that they have. They're not going to be able to share that with anybody. Right. And again, I tell people all the time when they come to my office, I'm like, look at this office. I'm like, you get to dump everything in here and it stays in here.
Right.
You don't have to carry that backpack out of here. You get to leave the backpack in here. And for some people, that is so much relief to be able just to leave it in there and that it's safe.
Right.
And whatever they want to say, it doesn't have to be politically correct. It doesn't have to be the church answer. It doesn't have to be the, you know, well, scripture says I'm supposed to do this. And so I'm only going to say this. Because I don't believe that's the way the Lord wants us to live.
Yeah.
I think he really wants us to be honest about where we are, because until we're truly honest about where we are, we're not going to be able to go anywhere different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as far as like, I think you've got to have, if you're on church staff, obviously you've got your trusted people on church staff. You've got your favorites. Okay. Those are the people that after the committee meeting, you go and talk to and you guys have lunch and you have coffee and you're like, I don't really agree with so-and-so what they said. I mean, we know that happens.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We know that happens. But then there's also probably those people outside of church staff that you talk to. And maybe that's a spouse.
Yeah.
Maybe that is somebody in your small group that's not on staff at the church. And then I highly recommend that you have somebody outside of the church.
Right.
Now, it can be another person. I wouldn't necessarily recommend another person on another church staff because I think that gets a little messy. But sometimes that's the way it works. I know our pastors at my church oftentimes consult and have accountability with other pastors, not in the same city, even sometimes out of state. And I think that's very powerful. I also feel like it's got to be also somebody who's going to be completely honest with you and say, hey, look, dude, you've had these conversations with me over the last 6 months and nothing's changed. I think you may need to go talk to somebody who can give you more help than I can give you.
Yeah.
Because it's not changed.
Right. Right.
So I think you got to have those couple people in your life. And it can be the person that's on staff or it can be the person outside that's willing to give you the feedback that you don't want.
Mm.
Not the feedback that we love. We all like the warm fuzzies.
Yeah.
I love the warm fuzzies too. I mean, they're good, but the reality is that if you want to make a shift and you say that, I want to make a shift from where I am right now, that person has to have permission to say, okay, you've given me permission to say, hey, these are the things I'm noticing about you, man. And I think that maybe somebody who has more experience in walking this journey is going to be the best person for you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, having these people in your life, knowing when to go get professional help. I mean, it's all about, you know, avoiding or dealing with burnout so that you can be your best, right? I mean, that's kind of at the end of the day. And I just feel like pastors are going to face that at some point in their life journey as a pastor or as a minister or as, you know, anybody on staff. If you're serving and working with people, like, it's hard work. I mean, you do it all day long, right? As a professional counselor, like, working with people is extremely difficult. So having these tools to kind of recognize it and have the right kind of people in your life and know when to kind of go get professional help. I even think getting professional help in the church, and I don't say this as like some expert, but in my experience, like, going to get professional help is almost frowned upon in a lot of kind of church settings.
You're right.
Maybe that's changing. I don't know, but I feel like that's a pretty common vibe.
It is. I will say, I think over the last couple of years, the trajectory is changing just a little bit.
Yeah.
I won't say like it's done a 180 or anything like that, but I do believe that there are some permissions being given.
Yeah.
Okay. Where individuals feel a little bit more supported in decisions to seek out professional help. Now, I mean, is it where I would love for it to be? No, but I will say this, even though it's not where I want it to be, we're so overwhelmed right now, mental health wise, we don't have the capacity. If you look at anybody, I'm in a practice right now with, I think there's 16 of us in the practice now.
Yeah.
We've got three different offices. I would say there's maybe three people accepting new clients out of 16.
That's crazy.
I mean, there's just some challenges in trying to get enough people trained.
Yeah.
I get requests a lot for Christian counseling. I would say that probably, and I'd have to look at my numbers, but I'd say probably about 75% of what I do is include that Christian perspective that it's requested quite frequently.
Yeah.
And I believe I'm the only one in our office now. We just added a couple more people. So sometimes it's hard for me to know kind of their specialty. They're not in the same office that I'm in. So, you know, I think right now I'm the only one that offers that.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Just the perspective of like the mental health industry is overwhelmed with like need. And if that's happening, you know, in general, right, all around, then it wouldn't be different in the church necessarily, right? It means like the last two or three years have just been pretty intense. And
absolutely. And you guys are just as overwhelmed as we are.
I mean, in
the church. Yeah. So you're getting, for all those who are not necessarily going to professional help for counseling and help, they're coming to the church.
Right. Yeah.
There may be some that are coming to the church instead. I know at our church, we have three individuals on staff that provide counsel for people. And they try to stay within the zip code of the church just because Knoxville's a pretty big area and we could have people from all different areas. But, oftentimes if they get a request and it's, beyond, you know, basic, general counsel kind of stuff, then they will reach out and just ask me either for a resource or if I have an open availability, which is typically not the case.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, Connie, this has been awesome. I want to ask you a couple rapid fire questions to wrap up because we could keep kind of chatting about this for a while, but I want to be respectful of your time and listeners. So a few rapid fire. The first one, easy one, because I didn't get to it, but like, do you know, are there any resources that are like, hey, if this topic resonates with you, you need to go, if you want to dig in more, sorry about that, or learn more or think more about your own situation, like what's a resource that you'd point someone to?
So I love Dr. Cloud, Dr. Townsend's book, Boundaries. I absolutely just kind of live by that book. It just really helps you if you're kind of moving in a direction of burnout, maybe your boundaries aren't so good. And so maybe you need to think about, you know, revamping some of your boundaries so they can be a little bit, better, balanced.
Okay. I love that one
in the realm.
I read that one years ago. So I
And they've updated it.
Really?
They've updated it. If you haven't read the updated version, they have a really specific chapter in there about how to have boundaries with technology.
Okay.
And I absolutely love that because ministry right now, a lot of it is done through technology.
I mean,
it just is. I mean, text messages, emails.
Yeah, we're all on our phone all day long. So that
makes,
you could have a whole book probably just on that one chapter.
Sure. So I like that they've included that particular chapter on the updated version.
Love that. One of my questions was going to be, what's a book that everyone needs to read? So I
definitely recommend that one. The other book I recommend for women specifically is The Best Yes by Lisa Turkhurst. It's, you know, how many yeses are you giving out every week? And what's your best yes? Is your best yes to make a meal for somebody? Is your best yes to, you know, spend some time taking care of you? We haven't talked a whole lot about self-care, but I think definitely, if you're in the realm of burnout and you recognize it, then you need to go back to how are you taking care of you. So that is one. I will say I have ordered this book. I have not read it yet. I've heard really, really good things about it. I'm just going to tell you what the name of it is.
Yeah.
It's called Emotionally Healthy Spiritually.
Okay.
I'll send you the author's name. I cannot say his last name, so I'm not going to butcher it. I've heard some really good things, but I ordered it for myself. I am going to read it. I've got it right here on my desk to start reading. So heard really, really good things about just how to balance from an emotional and spiritual perspective.
Yeah, love that. Okay, what's a like a church leader or mentor, you know, someone that you really looked up to and why?
Oh, goodness gracious. So this is not a famous person at all, and I don't know that her husband would be listening to this, but my, I worked for a nonprofit, doing middle school ministry when I was in college. And, our leader, was a middle school teacher. Her name was Candace Keck. At the time, it wasn't Candace Keck. It was Candace Edwards, but, Candace was a mentor to me, and her husband is now a pastor in Ohio. And they have children that they've, had biologically, and then they've also adopted, 3 children, from China. And so she is just somebody that I look up to. She's walked through some pretty significant stuff, in her life. And, yeah. So I look to her a lot of times to just find balance.
I love that. It's those are good people. Yeah. Okay. Last one. What's a podcast that you're listening to right now?
I got to go with Annie F. Downs, man. I mean, I just love the laughter that she...
Say it again.
Do you know Annie F. Downs?
I don't.
Yeah. So she has a podcast, and it is called, I believe it's called That Sounds Fun. I just listen to it so often. I don't pay attention to, the name of it, anymore. Yeah, That Sounds Fun. And so it's Annie F. Downs, okay. D-O-W-N-S. And then also listen to No One Told Me, Callie Holland. I love Callie. She and I have done several podcasts together. And so the No One Told Me podcast, love it because it comes from all different, you know, angles of life.
Yeah.
And what's one thing nobody ever told you? And you're like, oh, wow, nobody ever told me that.
There's so many of those.
So much better.
Me and my wife talk about that all the time. Like, how come my parents never told me this or showed me how to do this or whatever it is? Like, it's the funniest thing.
Right. So I listen to her pretty frequently and just enjoy just the laughter that she brings in. She always includes humor, and I need humor. In order to do this journey that I'm on as a therapist, I have to have humor.
Oh, yeah. We all do. We all do.
Yeah. Well,
Connie, this has been awesome. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's been so fun to get to chat about burnout and then just a chat about what we can do. Cause I think if we can take steps to move forward, then we're making good strides to be in a healthier place.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's become in the last few years, a much bigger topic to your point. It's growing and you know, people are like understanding it more, doing more to kind of figure it out and take steps towards, you know, actually seeing professionals and that not being frowned upon in the church and being okay. So, and folks like you that do like Christian counseling and focus on helping, you know, folks in a Christ-centered way, which is awesome. So this has been great. Hopefully the listeners love it. Guys, thanks for tuning in. Show Connie some love, give the show a like, and we'll give you guys another episode. We'll see you next week on another episode of Modern Church Leader. See ya.